Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Charles Jamont, and I'm joined by
Andy K.
Good evening, gentlemen. After technically 2 weeks off, if you've been listening to the podcast, or 1 week off, if you watched it live on Twitch or the VOD, I suppose. Yeah, our E3 recap episode was destroyed in terms of audio quality, so I just went, people will live.
Yeah, all those hot take our guesses were there, the results were not.
That's true. Yeah, I will recap, Andy did win that.
I won. I thought Charles won with his bonus point.
Oh, no, sorry, Charles won, excuse me. Charles won. Because
he guessed that the Switch wouldn't be revealed.
That's right, so Charles won, but Andy had the most correct predictions.
And I don't even remember what they were. It was just...
They're in the past.
They're in the past now, lost to subpar recordings, and that's okay.
Other housekeeping note, I am currently in the middle of a lightning storm, so this stream may just die suddenly, in which case, good night, everyone.
I'm wishing for your safety. Okay.
Yeah, if you notice on the podcast feed that this episode is much shorter than you expect, that would be why. So Charles, your move is now complete. Instead of sitting on boxes in one state, you're now sitting on boxes in another state.
Or in this current instance, the floor.
Oh, I guess better for your posture, maybe. I don't know.
That's I did order a new computer chair. So that's exciting. We'll get
I won't dox you, but you are in the Pacific Northwest, so you were subject to the once in a lifetime heat wave.
Yeah, that was the worst thing in the world.
At least it wasn't the weekend you were moving.
Well, I mean, the worst of it wasn't during the week I was moving. It was already there, though.
God. Ugh, there's nothing worse than working in doing an apartment move in high heat and high humidity.
Oh God.
Absolutely.
It's already miserable, but to be subjugated to that. Well, I'm sorry, and I'm glad you made it through. How hot was it? Like, was it really that hot?
It was at one point projected to be over 110.
I believe Portland, Oregon hit 116 degrees, making it the hottest place on earth. Yeah. Literally hotter than anywhere in Africa, in the Middle East.
Really? 116? Yeah. I feel like we've gotten hotter than that.
Well, yeah, we have. But in that moment, it was the hottest place on earth.
That's wild. And by no means to diminish it. That sounds miserable, especially in the humidity. I am so sorry.
Yeah. Historic highs was basically in the headlines. It was like, oh, goody.
I also saw all the roads were like buckling.
Let me tell you, it was the busiest malls ever.
Post
COVID. I was in the mall for a total of, I don't know, 17 hours over the weekend.
Yeah.
And at one point my family and I were just sitting in the mall, sitting for a couple hours, not moving, just enjoying not being hot.
How many movies did you see?
I was going to say, did you go see Fast 9?
No, no. I actually asked. I was like, do you want to go watch a movie? And they're like, no. Rather just sit in the food court.
Charles, don't take this the wrong way, but your family are psychopaths. When you could have had the real family, which is Dom. And I don't know, who are the other ones? Ludacris.
Tyrese.
Tyrese.
Well, remember that that movie, the plot is Dom does have another brother and he abandoned him. So it's not about family anymore.
Oh, no.
He was family and then he wasn't. So apparently family is a binary state.
It's never complicated.
That's right. But I'm sure John Cena will be back as family he'll be at the cookout drinking Coronas.
Is this the one where they go to the moon?
They do, in fact. Well, I don't think they go to the moon. Tyrese and Ludacris do, however, get into a rocket-powered car and fly into space.
Oh my god, that makes me so happy.
They know. I didn't see it yet, but I did hear there was one scene where Tyrese like goes, he like looks at his coat after a shootout and there's just bullet holes all in it, but he's completely untouched. And they literally mug, they literally go, this isn't right. We should be dead, right? Like, this goes beyond Lux.
I wonder if they're too self-aware. Has it jumped the shark?
Andy, can it? It made $70 million, so I'm betting no, it hasn't.
Okay, well, they're fine. We all win here.
That's right. But, you know, and you know how we continue to end? Not with the story I have up, because that's actually the second story. PAX West is in person.
Whoa. Feels great to say it.
Nature is healing until the Delta variant comes by and cancels all these plans.
Oh, my God. Please, Delta, stay away. Get vaccinated, everyone.
Yeah, PAX West earlier, week before last, announced that they would be having an in-person event. Tickets also went on sale this week. I'm not sure if they sold out. I'm going to assume they did. Let's see, together. Hmm. You can buy tickets. 4 days are sold out, but the individuals are there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They did say that they would be reducing the amount of attendees this year. I have to imagine that, plus the fact that people are probably, I know a lot of people have said, I'm not really ready to jump into the deep end immediately, which is a completely reasonable thing to say, but completely. The three of us are going to jump in the deep end.
Well, for, you I mean, know, journalism. You know, we're vaccinated people.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, we're reasonably cautious. We do trust each other to also be reasonably cautious.
Yeah,
I'm good.
They will be requiring people to wear masks during the basically indoors the entire time.
Okay.
Zero tolerance. Sure. They'll be doing temperature checks on the way in to the convention center. Also, amusingly, how strict they are about that mask mandate. If you have a cosplay that includes a helmet that covers your face, you cannot wear it. You have to be visibly wearing a mask.
Wow, they're taking it serious. I mean, yeah. I love that.
I think we should be very clear here. Every booth is going to have probably a mask giveaway. So we should definitely hit up the game booths that we actually like so we can get their mask.
Oh, that's a good call.
That's wonderful.
We're going to need those for the Delta variant. that fucking blows up from this convention.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, where's your money on which game booths will have like special neon light up mask? You know,
is there going to be like a Razer booth? Is there going to be like gaming hardware?
I definitely think hardware. Yeah,
companies are going to try so hard. I feel like, what are companies with like mascot characters that would make like cute masks? Like, I feel like Sega might have some cute masks.
Square
mm-hmm. might. Like, I was thinking, like, a Chocobo and stuff.
Yeah, a Chocobo or a Slime for Dragon Quest.
Oh, Slime. That would be good. So I'll get a Square mask. Mm. Well, we can all depend on Sony not being there, because they don't want to turn up anywhere, apparently.
Well, I mean, they haven't announced who will or will not be there yet. You have to imagine that they decided to have the event because they had commitments from exhibitors that they will be going. Okay. So, but who knows? So we'll see who shows up. I can almost guarantee Nintendo will probably show up, which means, hey, there might be some cool Nintendo stuff there. They did announce a lot at E3. I doubt we'll see Dread or Breath, you know, anything like that, but there might be some neat Nintendo stuff.
And I'm sure like a lot of indies, which is, I think one of the most fun parts about PAX is just getting to see and talk with all the indie developers. I think that's cool that they're enforcing masks, like tolerance. It'll make, because there's a lot of people flying into there, all the exhibitors and stuff. I think everyone should feel safe. I don't think anyone should feel compromised for this.
Well, Andy, I know you think everyone should feel safe, but maybe PAX wants to exclude certain people. And they updated their attendee terms of services when added the proper attire requirement. Wearing inappropriate attire or attire that could detract from the event overall. And people have kind of taken that to mean no more Ahego shirts and hoodies and most likely masks.
Oh, was that
Oh, was that a thing at?
Oh God! Oh yeah! Oh, have yeah. you never seen? I gotta find
at
this
anime movie. Conventions. I have, but I didn't know PAX.
Oh, I mean, it's everywhere, Andy.
Interesting.
Yeah, here we go. This is the one. Yeah. Shit like this.
So. All right. So yeah. it's infinitely more worse that it's in color.
there's a black and white one here. I'll just try not
to all our listeners at home.
If you don't know what a haigao is, don't look it up.
Yeah, live not your safe life in
purity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Live your life. I'm not gonna spell it.
I didn't know this was. I at least maybe I didn't pick up on it at PAX, but you know, it's interesting that we have to target that. I was thinking it was more like, you know, people like wearing political messages on their shirt.
I mean, that's also probably part of it too, right? They want to try to stay apolitical. You know, Seattle is fairly liberal, but you do also have to remember that I would say, you know, most of Oregon south of Portland is actually basically the West Bible Belt. You wouldn't think it's really weird. Really? Yeah.
Oh no.
So it's oh no, people enjoy religion.
No, listen, Bible Belt, you know, colloquially, that is not used to represent those of faith.
I know. just trying to ruin your brand, Andy.
I just listen, I'm accepting of people who are loving and peaceful, but oof-da.
Yeah. So we will see. We will be there and not wearing the haigao mask that Charles lovingly got us for Christmas this past year.
But you bring it, right?
Oh, I'm 100% bringing it. You monster.
It's only funny if we all wear it at the same time. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll wear it to the public. I have worn it within my building to do laundry. And I don't think anyone's gotten close enough to realize what it is. And for that, I am thankful. But people have seen me in it, and I just hope they don't know. I hope they don't know. They didn't need that, but I needed a mask. I was washing all my other ones. But yeah, well, that's exciting to see that PAX is back, and they're taking it seriously. And let's hope to God the variant doesn't grow from here till now, or from now till then.
Yep. But moving on from good news to good news, things that you thought were good news, but were actually bad news. We have Silent Hills news. Well, kind of. So Konami and Bloober Team has announced a strategic partnership. This is amongst rumors that Silent Hill is currently in remake or something of that nature. Bloober Team, if you're unaware, recently developed The Medium, which released on Xbox. They've also created Layers of Fear. And one more that's escaping my mind.
I don't know.
But yeah, they're horror. They're a good horror team. They Polygon. I just saw Polygon's article. Oh, I misread it. Polygon's article, I misread it. I thought it said horrible developer Bloober Team. Oh, yeah, they also developed the Blair Witch game.
I heard that was okay, right?
Bloober Team is really good at atmospheric horror. Like, they do a good job of kind of, like, doing scary and disturbing things. But mechanics are not really their strong suit.
Yep.
They're kind of just, you're just walking around and experiencing things and maybe, you know, picking up stuff. But you're not. You know, it's that classic kind of like, you know, you have to chase and hide from the monster kind of stuff. Medium did have some combat, but it was still also kind of a chase and hide thing. So,
yeah, Medium was pretty good.
Yeah,
it just was missing that extra level of gameplay.
I don't want to say adequate because that's almost too rough. I mean, it was a perfectly fine AA game, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't exceed AA standards, but it didn't, you know, betray them either. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it sounds like Silent Hill would be a good fit then. I mean, Silent Hill was never good at combat.
Wasn't it? I mean, people seem to be more interested in Silent Hill's story.
Right, the story and the atmosphere, and then you just hit things with a crowbar sometimes, and it just controls horribly.
but that's okay.
God, Silent Hill is like lives on the on how well they did Silent Hill 2. Like, I feel like the other ones, everyone was like, you know, these other games are acceptable, but they're not nearly as good as Silent Hill 2's story was. And it's just like, yeah.
It yeah, isn't. For many, that's their favorite game. Silent Hill 2 is really important to them. I played a little bit. I've somehow walked my whole through my whole life without the ending being spoiled. But I bought it. I still have to beat it. But it's supposed to be very good. I beat Silent Hill 1. Silent Hill 1 made me pee myself. I think I talked about this. But that one made me pee myself. Silent Hill 2 didn't.
Wait, when did you play it?
Well, when I peed myself, I was young. Okay, it was when you're in the diner and something crashes through the window. And I was like, well, I have released. I can no longer hold in my pee. And the but I beat it later as an adult. And I have this problem with horror games where when I play them, I feel like it needs to be late at night with the lights off. And I don't know why, but for Silent Hill 1, that made it very difficult. Because just the atmospheric noises and the graphics and everything just, oh, it's so unsettling to not have like the security of light to make you think you know what's behind you. But when all of your senses are focused onto a Silent Hill game, it's too much. It's too much. So kudos to them. I hope the Bloober team does well. But I thought the publicly released wording of this collaboration was bizarre. Like it felt like it went through many edits because they describe it, James, if you can scroll to the top, they describe it as a strategic cooperation agreement. Who says that? What does that mean?
People focused on Pachinko.
Yeah, like, and that's what it makes it seem, that they are collaborating, but it's not going to be what people want, and then they can go point back to the legalese of how they presented it. That's what this seems like right now. So it seems like it's going to disappoint everyone.
I wouldn't read too much into that.
I have to, because they said one other thing. I forgot what it was, but I think it came from Bloober, because I think that is, Bloober said something too about working with them, and I don't know. Konami, just bury all your IPs. They're done. They're gone.
Well, just sell them. Sell them.
There you go. That's a better way of putting it. Just sell them. Well,
I mean, this article does point out that Konami has been kind of hinting that they've been licensing out their IP to other developers. This goes into the rumors about Blue Point making Metal Gear Solid, right? And now Bloober potentially working on Silent Hill. So who knows?
Blue Point would do a good job.
Well, yeah, that's Blue Point.
But we already got a Metal Gear Solid remake.
Yeah, now it's time to remake the remake, Andy.
Did you know? Granted, I haven't played it, so I'm going off of interviews, but they redubbed everything to remove accents?
Yeah.
That's why. Was it racist? Was it?
Wait, I mean, redubbed which?
What? Like, they redubbed Mei Ling. And they redubbed, who's the weapons expert?
Sigan?
It's the lady, right? In Metal Gear Solid 1? She's a weapons expert?
I thought it was the black guy, Sigan, right?
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah. I don't remember. Regardless, I remember reading about it, and then David Hayter put up a stink, and then David Hayter took a pay cut to get other people back, blah, 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 blah. But I remember they had to redub it all. And Metal Gear Solid 1, I think that dub is legendary. I think it's one of the finest ever produced. So
I disagree, really, but continue.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Real? What's better than Metal? Well, I'm sure there are, but I'm curious.
Any Rockstar game.
They do a good job.
Yeah, they do an amazing job, Andy.
As does Metal Gear Solid. You listen to Sniper Wolf tell her life story as she bleeds out in the snow, okay?
Yeah, she should have bled a little faster.
Heart-wrenching. It was fantastic. I love the Metal Gear Solid dub.
Well, you know what's not fantastic?
I want to hear it. Tell me about it.
Sony's approach to indies. Suck it, I was right, Charles.
Wait, what
are you talking about?
Oh, so indie developers have lashed out at Sony's publishing methods. And reporting a $25,000 charge for platform visibility.
I was wondering about that. I was like, I didn't see this on the.
I just added it because I forgot to put. I remember I saw it and I forgot to put it on the doc. But yeah, some indie developers have, off the record, decided to burn. Or actually, no, wait. One guy who decided to burn some bridges, which is Neon Doctrines, which is an indie studio of a game I don't quite know. Basically said that, you know, Sony's not great with indies, which I called months ago at this point.
That was their big thing with the PS4.
Yeah, that was their big thing. Now that's Microsoft things, and now Sony's thing is they don't give a shit.
Is this Jim Ryan again?
It could be. Honestly, this is... Andy, this one could be Jim Ryan.
Come on, dude. Like, good guy Sony just doesn't exist. I mean, it doesn't. Microsoft's not a good guy either, right? But this is okay. I guess $25,000.
Yeah, just to be a featured indie on their store. Yeah, and then it's just very. They make it very difficult to get any kind of marketing done through Sony. He of course didn't say Sony. He called it Platform X, but he also said Platform X doesn't have Game Pass. and I would be hard pressed to think that you would say Nintendo is not killing indies right now. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. It also, Kotaku also did some digging into this, and that $25,000 marketing sum can sometimes reach as high as 200 grand.
The whole point of indies is that they don't operate at that scale.
Yeah, Sony doesn't give a shit.
Like, literally, I thought they had... Wasn't Shuhei, like, the lead of it? I thought they had, like, a whole department that collaborates with indies to, like, elevate them and make them an important part of the platform. It just sounds like they're selling pieces of their platform. They're not featuring
it. I think Shuhei took that job to be like, we're not doing shit with indies, Shuhei. You want to just work on your pet projects and get a paycheck? Go do it here.
Is this real?
Yeah.
Like, this has been verified?
Well, Kotaku, I mean, you say Kotaku is verified that these marketing costs can reach as up as $200,000 for indies. And it's basically, yeah, it's kind of saying what everyone realizes is that Sony is not focusing on indies, doesn't allow launch discounts without their approval. So basically, Sony has to approve that you can discount your game on launch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder how long it's been that way.
I would imagine probably through the end of PlayStation 4 when it like really started taking off.
Maybe that's what it was. Now, who knows if it wasn't the same before, right? I'm only operating at what we were told. Who knows how it goes on behind the scenes? It's just sad to hear because that's not what being at least an in.
I don't know. I'm just kind of reading the game. The article as we go to another indie developer, Matthew White, who's the CEO of Whitehorn Games, basically said that they can't again name names, but they did a very interesting color segment pie chart, which being their hypothetical revenue breakdown, plumber without a wrench, red takes up the majority of it. The proficient sergeant takes up green. Takes up probably the number two spot, and then a mix between Nolan North and Gabe. Each something about 3% sales come from Steam and PlayStation. If you read between the lines, with Xbox and I would expect Steam to be higher. Interestingly enough, because I feel like PCs or indies thrive in general, but maybe that adoption rate is just so low.
Yeah, and I thought Nintendo's platform has become not good for indies anymore.
It's not good for indies because there's a million pieces of shovelware.
It got saturated. In the beginning, it was good. And then Nintendo opened the floodgates, kind of like Steam did with, like, you know, Greenlight and all that stuff. And now it's just mountains of garbage.
I heard the comparison that the Vita store shut down and Nintendo went, all right, all you visual novels, get on in here, you scamps.
They got to go somewhere.
That's right.
Steins Gate coming soon.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Way to ruin it more, James.
ruin my carefully constructed image of Sony.
I do want to see how long it this has been like this, because I feel like
it was at the beginning of the PS4. It was a big push on indies.
Wait, on what? This pricing scheme, this model?
No, I think like in terms of making their platform attractive to indies. I remember.
Well, no, I know that. I'm saying like this is what I'm more concerned about. Like, how long has this been here? Because, it's interesting. And it doesn't seem like, well, here's the thing, right? If you're a business, you're going to go with what works. And something like where you can say that Kotaku verified that sometimes the marketing sum can go as high as 200,000. It doesn't make sense to charge that if you know no one's going to give you that money, right?
Yeah.
So if it's going to go that way, like how long has it been that you could actually reach that high to charge? It's a little
What does indie weird. Game even mean anymore?
Not affiliated with a major publisher.
Right, but which of these games are forking over $200,000 just to be featured on a platform? Right.
Stardew? Minecraft's not indie anymore.
Stardew could have afforded that. If they
had that sliding scale, right? And I'm trying to think of what indie could bear that cost.
I don't know.
Maybe a PUBG, maybe. Is PUBG on?
I don't think PUBG's on PlayStation.
I don't know. It just something feels weird about it. 200,000, I can understand charging like a AAA studio to get like a front page feature or something, but. I don't know. That just seems weird. Or maybe the definition of indie is different, because when I view it, I don't think it as these, you know, couple people teams being able to fork over that much money.
Yeah.
So who knows? I don't know if they're characterizing it correctly in terms of using the word indie, or if my definition of indie is different. Is Medium an indie studio? Is Blooper an indie studio?
Blooper was an indie studio. Yeah, but I think they're still an indie studio.
Right, and then does that mean they could afford $25,000 to fork over? I don't know. What does indie mean anymore? It's become such a huge part of it.
The indie title has gotten blurred in terms of lines. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that used to be like Super Meat Boy and Brave, right? Or Braid. Like, what is indie now? I don't know.
You could make an argument from software as an indie studio because they don't have a defined publisher attached to them.
Oh, that's true. People pick up their game.
Yeah. But I think also being an indie studio means that you release your games without a publisher. There was a big thing about this recently with Devolver Digital releasing some games and calling it indie. But if Devolver Digital is releasing it, is it really an indie game? So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's very blurred and nobody really knows the meaning anymore. But Andy, here, let me refresh your hope in Sony.
Can you please?
Because they bought Housemarque.
Not a bad decision.
It was weird that it took when Returnal came out, we even noted it. We're like, oh, they're not owned by Sony yet?
I honestly thought so.
Yeah, really, this is just checking off a box along with their accidental tweet.
Yeah, we'll get that in a second. But PlayStation announced this week that they have added Housemarque to their PlayStation Studios brands. Most recently having released Returnal to pretty good fanfare. Charles, did you beat Returnal yet?
No. I actually in between moving and stuff, I was like, let me play a few levels of Returnal. And let me tell you, you need to shake off some cobwebs because I died within the first three rooms.
That was my experience too when I tried to go back to it earlier this week. And Andy, did you beat Returnal? I forget.
I will play it when it has a save feature. My PS5 still crashes in rest mode. So
it's so weird.
Thanks for that stupid design decision. There's no defense. I still stand by that. There is no defense.
Never had that happen to me.
Yeah, same. Still like 50% of the time it crashes on me.
I would maybe see about getting a warranty repair on that, Andy.
I would too.
Well, I've looked it up. It's a common issue. And it's nothing. Right now, there's nothing we can do about it.
Is it a 1 out of 3 customers? Because it's looking like that right now.
I don't know. I just know it's a common issue. Like when I read articles, especially on Returnal, I'll go into the comments and tons of people are talking about they cannot play the game because the PS5 crashes in rest mode. It's just, it was an enormous oversight. I have no idea why they thought that was okay.
Weird. But,
oh, well, we'll see. I'm assuming it'll be fixed with software. I don't know.
But, so, you know, that's a pretty, I don't think there's a ton to talk about here other than, like Charles is saying, when they released Returnal, we went, huh, they didn't already own them? But Sony Japan had a little bit of an oopsie.
Oh, yeah.
And they tweeted out an image. Instead of saying, welcome, Housemark, it says, welcome, Blue Point, to the to the family. And let's be perfectly frank. You don't just make dream graphics.
Yeah.
It's not like, welcome to the family, Rockstar Studios. yeah, Blue. I mean, if you said, like, in the same vein of saying, it seems weird that Housemarque wasn't owned by Sony, it also seems weird that Blue Point isn't owned by Sony.
Yeah.
They quickly took down the tweet. Neither side has confirmed or denied its existence, or will talk about it, Blue Point or Sony, that is. However, there has been some speculation that tomorrow we may get the date for the State of Play that's upcoming. The rumors are July 8th for the next the Sony State of Play. And then, which I don't know, that's a Thursday, so maybe we'll play with the timing of the podcast, because it seems stupid to do it right before what is potentially going to be a big news story. And then a lot of rumors about, you know, Blue Point making a Metal Gear Solid game being revealed at that State of Play. It's like, hey, we own Blue Point, also Metal Gear Solid.
Wait, were they saying, because I'd hate for Blue Point to only be a remake studio, but were they talking about
they're
a
so
remake?
Good at it.
Oh, they're excellent. But that means there's a lot of excellent talent. And I'm wondering, is this a remake of Metal Gear Solid or a new Metal Gear Solid? Just curious, because I'm not as familiar with the rumors.
I mean, Demon's Souls was, I guess, a remaster, right? They didn't play with the controls at all. But I feel like you could do that kind of same thing with Metal Gear Solid, where you're really not changing too much. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're modernizing a couple features here and there, but like, it's just kind of, you know, the template's there. It's just like, let's make the movement and aiming feel better.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to be in the world again, right? Metal Gear Solid is one of my favorite games ever. I don't mind revisiting again. I still don't know why I don't own Twin Snakes, and it's too expensive to own now.
That's it. I'm sorry, guys. I had to do something and call back real far just a few minutes ago. Mm. Andy, I apologize. Sigint was in Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yes. Oh. Who was in Metal Gear Solid 1?
No one.
There was a weapons expert.
No one we were talking about. That's it. I'm looking at the codec list. There's Meryl, Deep Throat, Colonel Campbell, Naomi, Jim Hausman, Mei Ling, Otacon, Natasha Romanenko.
Natasha. Oh, Natasha. Yeah, because she tells Snake it's bad to smoke. I remember when you're trying to find the lasers or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's her.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Back.
Yeah.
Listen, Metal Gear Solid is one of my favorite games. I would love a remake. Yeah. I don't want Kojima to ever work on it again. I don't think we ever need a new one. Let it lie. But bring on the
Kojima rumor around the water cooler these days is still the Microsoft, and that potentially it might be an episodic game.
Ooh.
Which would be crazy if so, but
like on a Final Fantasy VII scale or you know, Life is Strange scale.
I mean, who knows, right? But I if I had to imagine it would be more Life is Strange.
Sure.
I mean, I would never count Kojima out to do anything because he loves to experiment.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'd be like, I wonder what would it be like and what the problems would be if I made an episodic game.
And I'm sure it'd be great.
And
sure
then he'd get money for it somehow. Jeff Keighley would ask him what's going on. He'd show it off at the next Game Awards. You know, whatever.
Can it just not be exclusive to Xbox, please?
Yeah, Andy, please. If he signs a deal with Microsoft, it's going to be exclusive to Xbox.
I can't do that.
You can just buy Game Pass and play it on your PC, more than likely, though.
I guess if it's on the PC, I'm fine.
And, I mean, this is not a story, but they just recently xCloud to everyone on PC now, so you can run console games on PC using the xCloud servers, which have been upgraded to Xbox Series X specs. So Cloud gaming is here, Andy. You could play a cloud gaming Kojima Microsoft exclusive on your computer.
Do I need to own an Xbox to play that console game?
No, you don't. Just need to buy Game Pass for $12.99 a month, I think.
Game Pass is stupid. I still don't
understand. No, it's incredible, Andy.
I mean, it is incredible, but it's stupid how my brain can't wrap around it. It's
Netflix for games.
I know.
And Sony doesn't seem to want to fight them on it, so whatever.
Well, maybe this... Come on, Sony! I used to be such a Sony fanboy. Can I defend them or just admit
Sony Pony.
That... Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Sony Pony.
I'm a Sony Pony, but it's you know, you fall into this weird loyalty to a company, which is what the company wants, right? They spend millions in marketing to create this feeling in me. And I don't like to look back on it. I don't like to challenge it. I'm reconciling myself in my 30s that I have loyalty to
Large faceless companies.
Large Jim faceless Ryan. Companies. And it's like, what the heck is that about? Jim Ryan ruined everything.
Sure he did.
It's all Jim Ryan's fault.
The day we interviewed Jim Ryan, that never happened.
Oh, I had hard-hitting journalism there. I will not hold back.
You will, Andy. You're a coward.
I am a super coward. I can't confront people. I can only talk about them behind their back.
Well, let's continue.
Confront people if you'd like. when we run into, let's say, game representatives at PAX West, I'll just be like, excuse me. Why did you ruin everything?
You know, that's actually an interesting point. I wonder if I could try to get a media match.
You know what? I mean,
I really doubt I could. But oh, you know what?
Yeah, I'll right. But, it. You know, you might as well just ask, and that would be funny.
Can you get a press pass? Can we go on the floor before everyone else?
I doubt we could get three, Andy. But
let's but get a we press can get pass. One.
And that's it.
No, if we get one, it's a miracle.
Hey, that's how Destructoid started.
It is.
They started the blog so they could get into E3. And now we have a wonderful corner of the internet.
Rooster Teeth did something similar.
Oh, did they? That's wonderful.
Yeah. But I'm going to save my tangent that I was going to use before we continued our delightful banter, which is let's continue talking about people behind their back.
Ooh, let's go in.
And the Final Fantasy remaster sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so is that what it looks like, right? I never got
to see any of these. This is the comparison screen. So if those of you on podcast will have to imagine it. So in the original game, Pixel, right? And then they did a 2013 re-release where they basically did these kind of weird smooth pixel versions.
That was wrong. That was such a bad choice.
Terrible.
Yeah, and now a new version, it's more blocky but detailed pixel versions. It's kind of like an up-res version of the originals is maybe a way to think about it.
And there's
I'm okay with that direction. I think it could still do some more polish.
Yeah.
I guess the intention is that they're trying to recreate how the pixels were meant to display on a CRT.
Yep.
Because the CRT's resolution and just the technology of displaying it would basically like crunch the pixels. It would smooth them together and you'd actually get very different details and representation than if you look at the pixels, you know, explicitly. So I guess the redesigns are to represent that, which in theory makes sense. Maybe that is how you do an HD upgrade of a 2D game, is you try to recreate what it was meant to look like in CRT. Instead, what you get is the smoothing filter turned down. Like, it's still not great. It's still not great. And for viewers of the live stream or the VOD, if you can see on the screen, it does look different. Things blend together. They're fuzzy, but with that, there's more suggestion to what they represent, especially like in background detail and such. So I get what Square is going for, but they're still not doing a great job, at least in my opinion. But it's not as bad as what they did back in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, my issue with it is, and, you know, I knew that I had unreal expectations, but I was hoping, you know, it was kind of that HD 2D, which they're doing for Dragon Quest III, yes, or something, at least in that vein, which is kind of taking the games and bravely defaulting them. Or, no, excuse me, Octopath traveling them.
And that is just a wonderful way to do it. And they chose Dragon Quest of all things, which, I mean, Dragon Quest
is the most popular.
I know.
Game in the world.
It means more in Japan than to here, and God bless. But I mean, really, it should have been Final Fantasy VI. I'm sorry.
There's like two games that get holidays in Japan. It's Dragon Quest and Monster Hunter.
No one cares about Final Fantasy.
Not really, no.
But I think it should have been. That's how you do remasters of these games. That's not the direction they're taking. It's obviously a lot cheaper to do what they're doing here. We'll see if they're successful. I don't know. The trailer was literally nothing.
Oh, yeah. They did also leak. There was like a leaked in the showcase or something like that. The details of it escaped me at this exact moment. But it sounds like 4, 5, and 6 will be released this July. Also,
wow, that was quick.
Weirdly, still only coming to Steam and mobile. So not to consoles.
That doesn't make sense.
Look, it might be better if you do play it on mobile. Okay, that smaller screen, you won't see all that smoothness.
Oh, that's a fair point, right? It's not big enough to really notice.
My Galaxy S20 Ultra agrees to disagree, Charles.
Stop compensating.
No! I have a 3090.
I don't know. It'll be curious. All we have right now are character sprites, right? Like, that's really all we know. Who, if it's put together as a package, maybe it is something special. Maybe it is a really good way to age it up. We'll see.
It feels more like a repackaging than like any kind of substantive upgrade is really what
that's actually a fair way to put it. Yeah, we'll see. Because all the Final Fantasy like 7, 8, and 9, those re-releases were just changing the character models and saying have fun. Like, that's all it was in terms of a graphics redo, as far as I understand. And then they added like the speed leveling, but. So maybe that's what we'll get here.
That's all they need to do because Final Fantasy IX is the best Final Fantasy.
Oh, shut up. And it's getting a TV show? Who wants a TV show of 9?
No.
Nine's is a... What's his face? Zidane?
I don't even know how to say it. Yeah. I don't know. People say those characters are endearing.
Doesn't endear me, says Andy.
I mean, Vivi's cool, but that's not all of Final Fantasy IX, everyone. Really? Really? Like that, what's her name? The Rose Knight or whatever? She's your favorite? Come on. It's... I wish I could see what you see, is basically my problem.
That's so patronizing.
And obviously I'm exaggerating a bit. I beat the game. It's just, I genuinely do, though, wish I could love it the way other people do. I just don't see it.
I still need to go back and beat it just because my third disc was damaged. And I even tried to do that thing where you use like toothpaste to smooth out the scratches.
Yep.
That didn't work either. So I never got to that third disc. And so I barely understood, like, I don't know what's so great about Kuja.
Did you have the disc grinder? The little hand crank thing.
Uh-huh. I did. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Look, that confuses the Zillennials.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All of my PS1 discs, if you look on them, they're all resurfaced. I did it to everything. But that happened to me with Legend of Dragoon, and it did not save it. Same with Legend of Legaia. I have a not working copy of Legend of Legaia.
Let me tell you a rumor for you to manifest out into the world.
Can I? I've got a lot of energy to give.
There's rumors that Legend of Dragoon might be getting a remake.
Really?
Yes.
I am curious if that game will hold up. I don't know. To middle school Andy, it was fantastic. In the environment of, you know, the games at the time and the mechanics it was pushing, I thought it was wonderful. I really wonder if it holds up.
I mean, it was really it was PlayStation's Final Fantasy because they didn't have Final Fantasy, which is really weird to think about now because they're so closely associated in terms of branding.
I think they even advertise it
on the back of the box that like it's Sony's effort to be Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they even brag yeah. here. Well,
let's see. The weird thing about it, right, wasn't I thought Legend of Dragoon came out around the same time as 8, or was it after 7?
No. Legend of Dragoon was on PS1.
I know. 7 and 8, PS1.
Seven,
I was December 2nd, 1999 was Legend of Dragoon. Let's say Final Fantasy 7 came out in 97.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
On the back of the box, it says 3 years in the making with a development team of over 100 members.
Well, Japan Studio made it, so maybe that was kind of like Sony's attempt to own the brand, as it were, mm-hmm. instead of Square owning it.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Legend of Dragoon was great. Give me more of those characters. Predictable story, as it were. But I like the battle system.
Oh, the battle system was great.
Yeah, it was a good battle system. You know, it doesn't have a good battle system.
Ooh, who are you burning?
Mario Rush Super Golf.
Oh no!
Yeah, I heard people were disappointed.
You love Mario Golf.
And I've been playing it since it came out last week. it's challenging, and not in the good way.
I was just gonna say, let's explore that. Let's open that up. What does that mean, James?
Yeah. So I think. So this, you know, there's obviously online battle mode, you know, you can play golf. This is actually probably Nintendo's most stable online game yet. So kudos, Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all fun. The mode where you can run around and bump people at the same time. That's fun. It is a little chaotic. And I think it leaves you in this kind of scenario where you're you can really fuck people over. But the mechanics of the game are not. I don't know. They're not an evolution of the previous Super Mario Golf game. They're pretty much kind of just exactly what we had before, which is, you know, not bad. Some people like that. But I think when you have games like Everybody's Golf out there that have really just kind of like nailed down the golf formula and added onto it, this game feels a little dated, right? Mm-hmm. The single player mode is also based around your me, which is always weird to me. I don't know. I've never had a real attachment to Miis. Mm-hmm. And you have to traverse a hub world to go from like challenge to challenge, which is the most annoying thing in the world because you only move so fast. And I'm like, I just want to golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. And a lot of it too, is you can get stuck in scenarios where you're basically just shooting a ball into a mountain and you can't do anything about it. I don't know. It's just for $60. I don't think it's that great of a game. It also only has 5 maps, although they've said they're going to support it with DLC and more maps in the future, which is
that's
nice.
Way too low. 5 maps.
Yeah. It's golf? Only 5. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and you can unlock them all pretty quickly. I just grabbed the Waluigi and just played each course, all 18 holes. And as soon as you finish 18 holes, the next one unlocks and so forth and so forth before I even went into the single player, just because I wanted to play it.
So, okay. All right. This is a funny thing to bring up, but you know how Nintendo gets a pass for a lot of its failings in mm-hmm. general. And also almost in a similar vein, I don't think we necessarily talk too much about like, their dev teams and how, like, what are Rockstar groups of devs, right? We're like, dev team X from Nintendo is working on Breath of the Wild 2. Are we excited? Like, we don't know that. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird because I, you know, the pattern for all these like Mario spinoff games, depending on who develops them, you're kind of like just like Mario Party, right? Like, they didn't create nearly enough maps, things are a little weird, and then like the support just isn't there. That being said, Mario, this game did just come out, so we can't complain yet about that, but it just seems wrong.
Was it developed internally?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird, Andy, that we just can't name these things?
I thought they're sports games they always farmed out.
Hold on. Let's see. They're made by Camelot Software Planning, which...
Don't they make the tennis games?
Yeah, they also made Tennis Aces. Which, yeah, so their last game was Aces, and they made Mario Sports Superstars, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, and they made Mario Golf World Tour, which was the last Mario Golf game that came out. So like I said, it didn't feel like crazy, like different than that last Mario game, but it's also, I don't know. It's not what I kind of hoped for from a Mario game, a Mario Golf game on the Switch. It's still fun, and I'm still playing it, but I don't know how. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, it's going to run out of steam real fast.
Is 5 a normal amount for these games?
No. Okay. I would say, how many maps did Mario Golf Tour have?
I don't know anything about golf games.
I want to say like 8 or 10.
Okay. That's too bad. That's too bad for a $60 game.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I don't know. It's also something where I think it's more fun with friends than by itself, which, you know, that's how Nintendo wants you to play things.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird considering their awful netcode. But you
know. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, let's move on from that to Final Fantasy Intergrade. Andy.
All right. I will leave the podcast for a minute.
I haven't beaten it either. You don't have to go anywhere.
Well, how much have you played, Andy?
I have played maybe an hour.
Jesus Christ, Andy. And it's then been 3 weeks.
Ratchet and Clank came out, and I've been playing that since then.
You chose to play Ratchet and Clank over a Final Fantasy game.
The Final Fantasy VII fanboy, the cry every 5 minutes, defender of a super old game fanboy. I played it, and it was very good. I don't know. I don't know why. It wasn't even that it didn't click either. I think I just really wanted to play Ratchet and Clank.
To be fair, Ratchet and Clank is both beautiful and excellent.
Oh, excellent. I beat it. I just beat it. And wonderful. I can't wait to play it again. And to be fair, I'm also approaching intermission as me beating that and then replaying all of 7. 7 Remake. So maybe I'm kind of thinking of it in my mind as a larger game than it is. Also, I want Yuffie to take off her cloak. Just take it off.
Ooh, that man, you really saved it at that last word.
I was like, whoa, this is gonna be a change.
Just take off her cloak. What I mean, okay, fine in the game. That's not a spoiler. She literally, it's in all the screenshots, she wears that stupid cloak.
Does she have that giant fist hand in the regular game? I don't remember.
The metal like glove thing, yeah.
The gauntlet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I will say the reason it frustrates me more is that there is a new PlayArts Kai figure of her released, a Yuffie figure released that could go with all the other ones I bought, but she's in that stupid cloak and I can't take it off and show her classic but reimagined outfit. I want that stupid cloak gone. I'm not spending $150 on a figurine for her to be in that stupid cloak. Anyways.
So I who don't care about anything and have already spoiled all the endings and everything for myself,
sure,
can tell you that the cloak does come off by the
end.
Thank God. Okay. There's so your one spoiler, Charles.
I hate that.
You
cloak.
Son of a bitch. You know I just said I'd leave, right?
Like, keep it on for 30 minutes. That's fine. But take off the cloak.
I will say, there are interesting things done with the story that make it worth playing. Like, it's not just kind of like throwaway where it's just like, you don't have to play this game to really see where the story is going. And maybe later they can change that later. But I would definitely say this is part of based on the story elements I saw, this is part of the Final Fantasy VII Remake experience and definitely should be played to get the whole picture of the
game.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm really happy.
I'm excited to see where Deep Ground fits into all this because they don't normally fit.
Yeah,
if you followed the other games. So,
also, I hear that the side quest game they put in there is like really good. Golden Eagle or something like that.
Oh, is it Fort Condor?
It's Fort Condor.
Fort Condor. Yeah, it's in there, and apparently, it's very good.
It's fun.
Perfect. I love Fort Condor in the original. So.
Yeah, they just build it out a lot, and it's a lot of fun. The Yuffie's battle mechanics are really cool. Otherwise, literally no reason for me to turn it off other than Ratchet and Clank came out, and I really wanted to play it.
Yeah, I haven't started Ratchet and Clank yet, but I have it sitting on my PS5 ready to go.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I want to play it soon. I did start playing Scarlet Nexus.
I was thinking about, I was gonna All right. So there's a bunch of games I want to get, but I'm not getting them until I finish Mass Effect. All of it. All of Mass Effect.
Andy, you gasped at me saying Scarlet Nexus.
So I read Detoid had just I didn't read the whole review, but literally the byline called it basically anime comfort food. And that is exactly what I want in a game. And I'm so curious as to what you think, because I was looking very hard at that game. But I'm pulling a Charles in a similar way of I got to beat the games I'm working on right now. I can't get Scarlet Nexus.
I would say the thing with Scarlet Nexus is, so it's not full. It's not full motion cutscenes and everything. So a lot of the cutscenes are presented in kind of like a visual novel, but like with just a touch of motion. So they're like they're putting the 3D models into 2D floating frames to talk kind of back and forth, and they move those frames around.
Like Valkyria Chronicles, or have you played that?
I haven't played that in a long time, but that sounds familiar.
It's fine, right? You get that more out of the more budget JRPGs or whatever. Do they not do it well here, would you say?
I'm going to see if I can get a video up so I can show you guys. I don't know. I'm honestly kind of skipping through the story.
Ooh.
And I don't know how much of this I'll play, because here's the thing. The combat is fantastic. And every moment that I'm fighting things, I'm having fun. But when I am not fighting things, I want to pull my hair out.
Oh no.
And I don't know if that's here we go. There we go. So here's a example of the kind of the cutscenes. They're not all like this. There are some that are normal cutscenes, but there's a lot of this. Also, you have a phone and you interact with that phone a lot, so you're kind of text messaging. So a lot of it's kind of getting revealed through these text messages and stuff like that. But that's kind of similar to like Tales, right? There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I get a lot of Guilty Crown vibes out of this game.
Okay.
Mixed with maybe Fire Force. But that's just because pyrokinetics plays a big part into it. I don't know. I want to like it. I want to like it, especially because the combat's so fucking good.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. A excellent combat dressed in just, you know, comforting generic anime tropes, which is fine by me. It's just a language of, you know, story that I just like.
I've heard tale of some cutscenes being 20 to 30 minutes.
If they're good, bring it on. I love cutscenes.
I guess. I mean, I watch anime when I want to watch anime.
Fair. Does that mean you don't like... Do you like Kojima cutscenes?
I
Oh, yeah.
Like is a strong word.
What? Love is what the word is.
I appreciate Kojima cutscenes.
Oh, my God.
In that I'm along for the ride. And you know what? Parts of that ride, maybe I'm in a tunnel and it's kind of boring. And other parts of the ride, I'm going through a scenic valley.
I drink every second of it. I love Kojima cutscenes. Even in Death Stranding, go. If there's a save point in a cutscene, I'm excited, because it just means I'm gonna learn more, and I just get to drink of that creativity. James, how dare you?
I don't know. I'm watching the combat in the video that we're watching right now, and I'm like, man, I want to play it again. I just don't want to sit in more cutscenes.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's almost Devil May Cry-esque combo based, where you're chaining these psychokinetic attacks with sword slashes. It just feels good while you're playing it.
And it looks cool.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yep. I mean, I'll keep trying. Maybe I'll hit that sweet spot with it.
Yeah. Play Ratchet and Clank. It's excellent.
Oh yeah, Ratchet and Clank. I have no doubt that it will be when I get there. But this has been another episode of Add to Party. And hey, I made it through the whole episode without the lightning storm taking me out.
Yeah. Thanks.
This has been James Hartwell, the unstrucken.
Yeah, that's it. This is Charles Jamont, freshly moved.
And this is Andy K, newly disappointed that I don't have my next JRPG to play.
Charles, was that a picture like falling off the wall when you said that?
Because no, the time something fell, something dropped behind me. It was for the fridge.
The timing of that just seems so perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Nice.